Thank you all. Thank you all for letting the Lord just speak through you. How many of you have been blessed already this morning? God said something to you. Now, I'm going to hit you a little bit with this, and you got to be ready. Move. 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 Some of y'all need to move into a relationship with Jesus today. Some of y'all need to move into obedience with what God's already got going on in your life. Some of you need to move forward because that friend next to you or that neighbor is near, and they need to hear what's in you. What's in you. And so as we go into Colossians today, it's a big difference. We're going to talk about receiving today. Receiving the grace of God. Now, a lot of people accept it, but we're going to talk about what? Receiving it. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. I can accept that God exists, but not receive the power that God has. There's a big difference, isn't it? I can be accepted into, or I can receive the power of. You know, some of you, we got all kinds of people here. Some of y'all employ people. Some people accept that they have a job, and then some people receive their job. There's a difference in that, isn't there, Dave? There's a difference in the function of those people. Now, I want to tell you, the most important thing I know is that Jesus died on a cross. He's risen from a grave, and anybody in this room today could be saved. How many of y'all are still with me on the most important thing that could ever happen on the face of the earth is someone meet Jesus? Y'all still there? Y'all still there? Is that the most important thing that could happen? Well, let me tell you why it's the most important thing. This week's been a tough week. Every once in a while you get a tough week. Any of y'all ever had a tough week? This week we had a tough week. Five people left this earth this week. Tim, our heart's with you, brother. Tim lost his wife this week. But Tim, I want to give you some good news right here in the midst of this sermon. She's not lost. Because a long time ago, Jesus found her. And today she joins where she's joined commonly in the great cloud of witnesses as we worship together. You see, we tend to forget that we're not alone when we worship. I guarantee you, while I'm preaching, there's an old woman up in heaven. She's not an old woman anymore. Her name is Bess Jewel. Bess Jewel is my grandmama. She prayed for me all the time. And I guarantee you, Bess Jewel's up there going, Lord, don't let him say anything he ain't supposed to. I guarantee you she's telling him that. And say, Lord, when he goes to lunch, don't let him eat too much fried chicken because he really loved that. But she's up there what doing what? Rooting that the power of God, the truth of God would get out in our lives. And so, church, I want to wake you up a little bit today. I want to pray that God move us on a little bit today. Because I don't know what I need to do to convince you that message that Jesus saves has got to come out of you because it's already in the world. It's already in the world. And so I want you to know, guys, that we go on because this is the truest thing. Now, praise God, it was a good week in this way. All five people who went on went with Jesus. Praise God, Andy. But now, hold on. Here's what's sad. That's not always the case. And I know what y'all going to do. You say, well, the Lord's merciful and forgiving and loving, and surely he didn't mean what he said. Wrong. That's Oprah. And she ain't a judge. God's a judge. He's got a line. Jesus is the only way into heaven. And as we go into this letter to the Colossians, the holy and faithful people who are gathered in Colossae, Paul writes to them and he says, don't forget Jesus is supreme. Don't forget the cross and resurrection is for real. And don't forget that's your message. That's the message. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Steve, you talk about Jesus being crucified and resurrected every Sunday. I went, what's your point? I said, people need to be saved every Sunday. It's the greatest message on earth. How many of y'all talk about the greatest things on earth? How many of y'all have ever had something great happen to you? Come on, talk to me. I mean, surely y'all have lived long enough. Harvey, you've had something great happen to you. You got married. What were the possibilities of that? Slim to none, and it happened. Come on, brother. Something great has happened to me. Okay, now check us out. Check us out. When something great happens to you, what do? I mean, you tell everybody, I don't know about y'all, but I like food. Anybody in here like food? Listen, you can't live in Bowling Green, Kentucky and not like food. People that move here, they go, what do y'all do in Bowling Green for entertainment? Eat. We have more restaurants per capita than almost anywhere in the world. What do you do? Eat. And you notice companies experiment with us as a people. If they want to start a new restaurant, they put it in Bowling Green and they go, if they'll eat it, anybody will eat it. You see what I'm saying? And that's the way that a lot of franchises are started here. But we eat. But now, how many of you, when a new restaurant opens up, man, if something's really good in there and you really like it, what's the first thing you go and do? Now, what training do you have to go to learn how to do that? None. Dave, just like this week, you showed me one of your little products and brought lust on my life. Dave makes the only fastest sports car in the world, American produced, right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Corvette. Well, he had a Corvette out there, and I love speed. I like to go fast. I've been sheriff for a couple of years. I like to go fast. And so I was over there looking at that, and guess what? Now Dave, guess what I did? I saw that car, and Mark Hale, I said, as soon as I walked in the office, I didn't have to be trained to do this. I didn't go to a, you know, how to share about your Corvette experience training seminar. I walked right into the office. I said, Mark, you won't believe what I just saw. And I gave him all the details. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Because you know what? You tell what you're excited about. It's just automatic. It's a human function. Now, I think we need to be re-reminded what God has done in our lives, because somebody's got to share it for the world to get it. Now, note what's already happened. The gospel's already at work. Jesus is in charge of that. Does that make sense? It's already at work. What did it say in Colossians? This gospel is going throughout the world. Does that make sense, Becca? It's already out there. Jesus is out there. Somebody tell your neighbor, he's out there. Come on, tell them, talk to each other. If y'all want to sit and stare, there's 127 churches you can do that in on Sunday here, okay? If you want to get involved and roll, let's roll. Look at here. It's out there. God's at Walmart. Isn't that cool? Jesus has seen what all them people wear to Walmart at late night, and he's going to forgive them anyway. What do you think about that? Isn't that amazing? Jesus is out there. He says the gospel has gone to work throughout the world. Now, I hear some of us Christians, we go, well, I led somebody to the Lord. No, you didn't. That's not what we do. We point out the Lord to somebody because he's already out there. But somebody's got to point it out. Somebody's got to teach it up. And all of us got to tell about it. We got to tell the story of Jesus, okay? So watch this. Three things today. Receive it, tell it, reflect it. Can you get that rhythm? What? Receive it. Tell it. It's just like a good restaurant. If you receive from that restaurant good food, follow me, you'll receive good food, right? What will you do next? Meals, I know you've told people, you know, man, I got the best double cheeseburger over at such and such place. You need to go get one. Also, we have a high number of cardiologists here in Bowling Green, I've noticed. We're a cardiologist's dream. Tobacco, bourbon, and burgers, baby. Here we go, okay? Look at here. It's so we tell about it, but hold on. If you eat at that restaurant a lot, what will happen then? You will begin to reflect where you've been. True? Now, hold on. The same with faith. How many of y'all know Jesus wants to come into your life? I'm going to go over that 100 times a day. Jesus wants to come over to your life. He is there. He is already out there. He wants you. Case closed by God. That's not the choice. 2,000 years ago, Jesus made a decision to save you. Jesus made that decision. God made that decision. God opened the door up into heaven. We didn't open the door. God opened the door to heaven. And he made a decision to do what? To save humanity. Now, there is a decision for every one of us in here today. Will we receive what God has done? What's he done? He's forgiven all people. Now, some of y'all think, Pastor, you know what I've done? Forgiven. Would you know 1970? Forgiven. Did you know I've been divorced? Forgiven. Did you know I've struggled with? Forgiven. How many of y'all glad to know that? Forgiven. If you don't mind, just look at your neighbor and go, forgiven. Just so you can feel that. Forgiven. Because I'm going to tell you something. You got to embrace yourself for this. If you live long enough, you'll die. How many of y'all have come to that conclusion? If you live long enough, you'll what? Now listen, I don't want you to be surprised by death because it's going to happen to everybody. But God didn't focus on that. He focused on what? Life. He said, you need to die to your nasty sins and you need to live in me so you don't die. And Paul understood that, and he's teaching that, and he's commending the people at Colossae for understanding the power of God. Verse 7, he says, their fellow servant, Epaphras, has shared like a faithful minister on the behalf of Paul, and he has shared the love of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that neat? He commended what? A fellow servant. Now today, I'm going to tell you, y'all got to be sharing. The love of what? Christ. How many of y'all glad to know this is a God of love and not a God of condemnation? I am. I'm going to tell y'all, I would be in a hell of a fix if God said you had to be good to go to heaven. That means you can't break rules. How many of y'all broke rules? I mean, I broke the rules. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, if you came to Hillview Heights Church and you expect the pastor to be perfect, you've come to a very disappointing situation. I've struggled. I've sinned. I've been forgiven. That's the good news. The good news is not that I've sinned. The good news is that God has forgiven in Jesus Christ. Now, the church has got to get back to that. Guess what? We talk about everything but who? Jesus. This is the Cross and Resurrection Church. I'm going over this today because this is what Paul taught. This is what marches through our lives. On the day that we die, what's the most important thing? Nathan, I hate to confess it, but you're pretty smart. I didn't say real smart. I said pretty smart. No, you're real smart. But that won't get you to heaven. What got you to heaven is you received the Lord Jesus Christ in your life a long time ago. And you were baptized. Nathan, you can bring testimony. And nobody in here ought to have a baptismal excuse. You were baptized. Baptized. Risen in Christ, walking in the Lord, fervently communicating who? That God is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord. God is at work. How many of y'all are living that rhythm in your life? Well, watch, as fellow servants of Christ, we're on a mission to do what? To share God's love in the power of His Spirit. We are resurrected people. How many of y'all glad to be a part of the resurrection? In fact, you are evidence of the resurrection. You ever looked at your life like that? Because of the way you live, it's evidence that Jesus rose from the grave. We are evidence of the resurrection. Watch this. How many of y'all have ever heard me say this here at Hillview? Cross. What? You don't ever see cross. Cross and resurrection. That's the gospel. It's not cross and it's not resurrection. It's cross and resurrection. Die, live, die, live, die, live, die, live. Isn't that the rhythm of heaven? I'm going to die to my sins so I can live in the power of God. Now, church, let me let you in on this. Do you realize the potential of heaven is lodged in this place? And so I want us to get on mission. You know what we really do? We release heaven. We release the heaven that God has placed in us. We release it. How do we do that? We tell. Look what the desire of God is. For this reason, since your love and Spirit, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. What's one of the most important things we can do for each other? Pray. Man, y'all on top of it. What?
Pray.
Come on, we'll run a sound check here. How many of you had some mama or grandmama praying for you all the time? I'll tell you what'll straighten an old boy up quicker than anything. Old crooked finger from your grandma. Y'all ever seen one of those? You don't know who they're pointing at. See, I grew up downstairs. They pointed at me. Boy, I'm telling you what. Now, Joe, your mother prays with precise precision. She's a princess prayer. That's why you're here today. But I guarantee your grandmother, Ms. Murley, she point that finger like that. And she say, Joe, in the name of Jesus, straighten up. And what do you feel come out of that finger? The power of years of prayer. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Scariest thing in the world is a woman of prayer. I don't know why men don't walk away, but women pray. You know they've talked to God. I remember one night I came in, and I'd probably been doing some un-Sunday school things. And I walked up to my room, and for some reason I was thirsting. And I wanted to go back down to the kitchen because that night I had created a great thirst. And if you know why, y'all know where I'd been. And so I'm walking downstairs, and my mama is praying to Jesus, and she has mentioned my name. And she's got such a prayer life, I went immediately back up the stairs. I was no longer thirsty. I became fearful. Because I know God didn't listen to me, but I knew she was 1-800 direct line into heaven. And I thought angels were going to appear at my bed and whip me for what I'd been into. Now, guess what? If we prayed for each other with that kind of intensity, you think the world would get better? He said, we've not stopped praying for you. It's endless that we pray. So, church, I want us to run a check. One of the ways that we reflect God's grace, God's understanding, and God's power in our lives is in prayer. Debbie, when you're singing that beautiful song, what are you doing alongside of it? Praying. When you're playing those instruments, guess what those folks are doing? Praying. As I'm preaching right now, guess what I'm doing? Yeah, I'm praying that whoever does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ in here would be saved today. If you come to Hillview Heights Church and don't hear about the cross and the resurrection, we have failed in our mission. We're about you going to heaven. We could care less if you joined this church, and I could really care less if you became a Baptist. You're talking about a short-change deal. Be a Baptist. You know how many of them are going to be in hell? They're going to stand right before God in the day of judgment, and they're going to say, I was a Baptist. He goes, yeah, we got a bunch of them in the basement. Because being a Baptist won't save you. Being a Methodist won't save you. But let me tell you what. Receiving the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, will bring you into a spirit of love that is like no other thing. How many of y'all found that to be true? Yeah. So y'all going, if y'all go to Hillview, you're going to have to tell Jesus the same thing I'm going to tell him. Why should I let you in here, Ayers? You said you would. That's how I'm getting in heaven. Jesus looked at me and said, well, why should we let you in here? Because you died and rose again. You said, if I believe that, I could come in. That's the only chance I got. And please, Lord, don't show a film of my life. I don't want to see it. I've already lived it. Show me a film of you. How many of y'all are like that? See, don't stop praying for each other. Pray without ceasing for each other. These are activities that ought to be automatic to us. Pray, pray, pray. Why? To stir up the power of God. The power of God needs to be stirred in the church. Move. Receive God's grace. Tell God's story. Look what happens when you tell God's story. It begins to be heard. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Now, here's one the greatest way to reflect Jesus, okay, to reflect Jesus so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. How many of y'all realize that everything we do has a reflection on who Jesus is? Y'all have heard me say this 100 times. If you're an employee, be there early. You represent Christ. If you teach, teach the best. If you coach, win in the name of Jesus. Be the best in every way, glorify God. One of the things that just crawls up my spine, makes me turn cartwheels inside my mind, is when I see a Christian that is lazy blaming that on Jesus. You're not late because you're in prayer. You're late because you're a lazy bum. Because Jesus ain't never late. Jesus is never halfway. Jesus never just gets it done. He gets it done all the way. Hello? Is that not the reflection of the things of Christ? In church, what do? We got to pray continually, receive constantly, and reflect absolutely who Jesus is. Amen? So guess what? A life worth living. A worthy life. How many of y'all glad to know you got a life worth living? Check this out. Every one of you in this room who have received Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, when you die, you will live on. Wait a minute, Ruth. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You need to tell John, I'm going to live on, baby. I'm going to live on. I'm going to live on. Now, hold on. How many of y'all going to live on? See, Salem, that changes everything, doesn't it? When I'm up there lumber cutting them deals for all them boys and some of them get on me, what am I going to do? I'm going to live on. Why could the Apostle Paul write, talk, and live like he did? He was thoroughly convinced he was going to live on. Now, if you're going to live on, let me give this to you. If you're going to live on, if that be true, and because that is true, because we're going to live on in Jesus, we can get through today. See the power? I'm going to live on so I can what? Get through. Now watch this. This is really cool. If I get through, it becomes a testimony that I can live on. And in that way, we reflect who? Jesus. Now, let's be honest. Are we going to get everything perfect all the time? No. See, I'm not asking you to be a bright light. Y'all remember that little story? This is a light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Y'all remember that? That story is so messed up theology. First of all, it ain't your light. It's his light. And if you're truly saved, there is no off switch. Think how arrogant that is to say that we can turn on and off the light of the Almighty God that made us. Oh, we don't like this because we're little control freaks. And we want to tell God when we can shine and when we can't shine. And God's yelling at us from heaven with a lovingly voice. You're shining all the time. I got to preach just a minute. The good news about Jesus is you can't turn him off. Somebody understand what I'm trying to tell you. You can't turn him off. That's what I love about Jesus. You take him to the temple. They try to shut him up and the rocks start speaking. God won't turn off. Andy, he won't turn off. That's why I preach Jesus. He won't turn off. You go nail him to a cross. He's still talking. Saying things like this, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. You put him in a tomb. He's still talking. This has always amazed me. A dead Jesus still scares the government. If he wasn't real, why do you put soldiers to guard a dead man's tomb? Well, he's worried about somebody stealing the body. Who wants to steal a dead body? They knew he could be God. And on the third day, early in the morning, we'll celebrate that here in a few weeks. Early in the morning, what happened? The testimony that God will not turn off, that God will go on and we can get through, exist. That's why he says live a life worthy, because you have a life worthy. So since you have a life worthy, what? Live a life worthy. In every way, do what? In every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Church, I want to challenge you here. I don't want to stay on here long, but I want to challenge you. Everything we do becomes a reflection of what God has said. It's very important. Listen, for those of you that have chosen to be married, please have a great marriage. Does that make sense? I've taught you all this at Hillview over the years. I think Christian marriages ought to be the hottest marriages on the planet. We ought to be a reflection of how God's put us together. I love it. I love to be able to celebrate 32 years, 35 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. Earl, what, 79 years married? How long's it been?
411.
Huh? 411. How long's it been, though, seriously?
65
years, and you're still not retired. Isn't that crazy? But that's not the testimony that they've been together for 65 years. They still like each other. That's the testimony. How many of y'all have ever been to those 50-year anniversaries and they were celebrating that they had endured each other for 50 years? That's not the marriage God created. That's the marriage we existed in. The marriage God created reflects his loving nature, bearing fruit. Now, some of you are going, well, I don't think fruit matters. Really? Jesus cursed the barren tree. You know, they had the Occupy Fig Tree group out there, and Jesus really didn't care. And Jesus didn't go get figs from another tree and put it on the figs that had no fruit. He cursed the tree that had no fruit. I'm just telling you what Jesus did. He said, well, man, that sounds like a God without compassion. I beg to differ. It sounds like a God of compassion. He will not tolerate that does not bear. I mean, y'all want a God that produces or you want a God that stays stagnant? How many of y'all glad to know that we have a God that bears fruit? And his children, what do? They bear fruit. This is one of the ways the world knows that Jesus is real. Let me tell you what. Good fruit in your life works better than web pages, TV commercials, and pamphlets on Jesus. How do they live like that? Jesus. So listen, I love y'all. It's going to take everybody. You older ladies, I need y'all praying like you've never prayed. You younger ladies that are mamas and stuff, I got a really good idea for you. Raise your children. It's a radical concept. Focus on your family in Christ. Don't focus on a neighbor's family. Focus on whose? Yours. Notice what I called those. Your children. They're not mine. I got mine to focus on. You focus on yours. And if we focus on Jesus, then all those children are going to be a reflection of who? Jesus' fruit. You say, Pastor, will that keep them from acting up? No. I've never raised a garden without weeds. But even a garden with weeds produces fruit. That's why we come to church, get the weeds out. Amen. Let God bear fruit in your life. A reflection. Check it out. You ready? A life worthy, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. How many of y'all need some great endurance and patience? If you're parenting, or if you just entered into parenting, or if you have just married, you will need great endurance and much patience. Dr. Earl, 65 years of marriage, have you used any endurance? Cindy, have you used any patience? Oh, yeah. That's why they got 65 years. You got to get this stuff. How many of y'all need a little more endurance and a little more patience? Hold on, God will. Can you remember that? Hold on what? God will. Remember that this week. Hold on. God will. Where do we get all flustered? Y'all know what I mean by flustered? That's a slang term. Flustered. How many of y'all ever get flustered? If you're from up north, I'll explain flustered. Up north, this means extremely bothered. Okay? You know you guys. I love everybody. Look, check us out. We think it's about us. And that's why we get flustered. When God says, hold on, I will. That's endurance. Hold on. He will is his grace. Elizabeth, have you had to receive any endurance from God? And you may not have had to take much because you married so wonderfully. Have you had to have any endurance to stay married? Have you ever had to hold on and say, only you, Lord? Have you ever had to say, Jesus, if this is your will, I'll stay here. And if not, I'll gladly depart. Yeah. Elizabeth's had some times she's probably wanted to leave. But guess what? She said, I'm going to endure it and see what Jesus will do. How many of y'all have ever had those moments with your kids when you went, oh, my goodness. And you had to hold on and you had to patiently endure. And then all of a sudden, God works a fruit miracle right in front of you. Some of you in education, I want you to know that none of my teachers guessed me with a graduate degree. You're talking about losing money in Vegas. I could have made a killing. If you went to my second grade teacher and said, do you believe Steve Ayers will have a graduate degree? They would have said, we will believe Steve Ayers is not in jail. Some of y'all went to school with me and said, yeah, we believe that too. But God, watch this. My mama prayed. Our Jesus moved. Endurance lasted long enough. Patience held in there long enough that something good came out of nothing. You want to know the grace of God? God takes nothing and brings great things out of it. Because sin leads to what? Nothing. And God said, I'm going to forgive you of your nothing so you can have something so that you can hold on and God will get it through. Make sense? He said, I want you to live a life worthy because I am a God that is worthy, being strengthened with power according to his glory so that you might have great endurance and patience and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share, check this out, in the inheritance of his holy people of light. How many of y'all are glad to know you have been accepted into heaven by the grace of God? Amen. Mr. Gibson, I know that you didn't have this problem, but I had this problem. I was excited to be accepted to Georgetown College because when I filled out my college application, that was risky because they asked things like grade point average, ACT score, willingness to study. That was actually on them. Do you have a willingness to study? And I wanted to say, do they forgive you for lying on these things? Huh? You know what I mean? Now, I don't know about you, but I was kind of excited when I got my letter that said, "Dear Stephen Lee Ayers, you have been accepted to Georgetown College." I went, wow. And then you know what I did on that ACT test? I filled out the dots on the science section because I didn't know anything about science. And I just filled out the dots. I was done in 5 minutes. And guess what I did? I filled out the dot pattern correctly. So I'm at Georgetown College. This is a sophisticated college. I mean, people are smart there. They read books. Even the teachers read at Georgetown. It's amazing. So I'm standing in front of this advisor, and they got me signed up for physics and advanced biology and calculus. I can't even spell calculus, much less do it. And I said, "What is calculus?" They said, "Letters, numbers, and theories." I said, "I know, I've never had that." I stopped. Once I could calculate what a loan cost, I was done with math. And, this had letters and alphabet, and that used to really mess me up. I said, "I either need to go to English or math." When y'all put the two together, it really wipes me out. And, did y'all ever take algebra? Why? They had questions, you know, TV screen width is X and the length is Y. What's the circumference of the knob? It was my response to that question. Who cares? Does the TV work is the greater question. See, I've always been philosophical, all right? So I like studying stuff like, is that really a TV or not a TV? Or is it only a TV because we call it a TV? Does it exist only in the reality of our minds, the figment? See, basically, that's a bunch of baloney, and they'll let you graduate from college knowing and speaking like that. How many of y'all realize you can sound smart without being smart? Yep. It's called politics. I'm telling the truth. I was glad to be accepted. How many of y'all glad to be accepted? I was excited on the night that Elizabeth, she accepted me. How many of y'all were glad that somebody accepted you? Yeah. Because Elizabeth, when we were 16 years old, she'd stood up in a class in a public school. This would be illegal now. She stood up, and I had made some wonderful intellectual comment. We were in business law class about my insight on business law. And Elizabeth Ayers, right there she was. She's Elizabeth Moss back then. She could get away with stuff because her daddy was chairman of school board. And she stood up in the back of the room and pronounced in the back of the room, Sheriff, in the back of the room. You'd arrested her today. This would have never been tolerated today. She looked over at me, pointed her finger, and said, "Steve Ayers, only a fool would marry you anyway." And let me tell you what happened. The teacher of the class, Miss Cindy, looked back here at Elizabeth and said, "Elizabeth, I agree with you fully." So I thought I was out of luck. "Dr. Ward, you remember those days. You remember those days at Warren Central High School." So I took Elizabeth to a great romantic place, the place we'd been parking all through high school. In fact, that was such holy ground, they built a church where we used to go parking. That's honest God truth. And your mama not here today, is she? She still doesn't know we did it. And I'm glad we didn't have cell phones back in our day. I mean, her mother would have had a GPS glued to my car. I'm done. And, but anyway, I take her to this place, and I look at her, and I pull out the ring was a struggle for me because you have to buy them. And I had this ring, and I looked at her, and I said, "So do you want to be the fool?" And guess what she did? She accepted that. I don't know about y'all, but once I got accepted, I started telling the story. I didn't grow up with cell phones, so we didn't have any cell phones. But as soon as I dropped Elizabeth off, everybody I saw, guess what I said? "Elizabeth's going to marry me. She's accepted me." As soon as I got accepted at Georgetown College, I put my little, they sent you a t-shirt. It's a cheap one, but they sent you a t-shirt. You know, they charge you $30,000 to go to school and send you a $3 t-shirt, and you think you got something. And so I put this t-shirt on, said Georgetown College, and I'm walking around. I've been what? Accepted. But hold on, church, wait a minute. Why don't we live like that every day? Heaven has accepted us. So I think instead of shining my light, it might be more powerful if we just reflect His. Here's the conclusion I've come to after this many years. God's reflection is greater than anything I can shine. No matter what light I can create, it is dim compared to the reflection of God's grace in us. So I'm going to call you to do three things today. Participate in this great inheritance. You're children of light. It says you joined the kingdom of what? Light, not the dominion of darkness. And so receive the grace of God. Share the grace of God. And in everything you do, what? Reflect what? The grace of God. You know why? Because we no longer live in dominion of darkness. Look at the end of the scripture. That God called us into an inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of the light. For he has, go to the next verse. For he has what? Brought us out of darkness into what, Nathan? Light. So we can see what we used to didn't see. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of what? Sins. Y'all been beautiful today. How many of y'all glad to know that we worship a God that will receive us, send us, and reflect himself in us? Pretty neat, isn't it? And you know what? You guys have been doing that. But I am going to challenge you a little bit. I got to pick you up. Listen. I don't know when anybody's going to die. Y'all? I had a man one day, it was a few years back, he got madder than a hornet at me out there in the parking lot. He said, "Preacher, I think you are too fervent in the way you preach. You have no right to just get up in people's face at an altar like you do." I said, "Really?" I said, "When are you going to die?" He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "Tell me the day you're going to die." I said, "What if it's tomorrow and you haven't received Christ?" He goes, "I get it." I said, "Yeah." I said, "You've been going to polite church. You've been going to a church where they told you that being good got you to heaven. That's a lie. I don't get you to heaven. God don't care about good. He doesn't care about some 200-year-old European politically correct system that we injected into the church of Jesus Christ. In fact, you ought to get a clue. God came as a Jew. He didn't come like us. You know why? We don't party. God parties. He knew if he'd have sent it to the Western world, we'd have sized it up, cut it down, shaped it out, and put it in a workbook. He gave it to the Jews because they'll tell the story. They'll have a festival. They'll have a dance. They'll go to temple. They'll celebrate the light. In fact, they even have a whole holiday, the celebration of light. Maybe we need to have an everyday celebration of what? Light. Isn't that cool? That's the word of God in us. So church, listen, there's people you need to tell this message to. And I don't have to train you how to do evangelism. That's another big hoax that's cost us millions of dollars to get nothing done. If you love Jesus, you'll share it with somebody. And if you don't love him, you'll remain quiet. It's that simple. You know, Dave, you and Jamie love Ohio State. What do y'all talk about? Yeah. I love the SEC. Jamie accuses me. He's got one team and I got a whole conference. I said, I like to dial a team. God loves us in such a way that he'll never let go of us. And we can be quiet about that. I don't see how. Amen? All right. Here's the good news. Anybody here today that you can be saved? Those of you who are following Jesus Christ, did you check your reflector? What am I reflecting? You know? And it's crazy some of the things you do to reflect Jesus. You watch this. One of the ways that several people came to know Christ, this is going to sound so weird coming out of a Baptist church. Elizabeth loves to dance. She can dance. I just kind of stand there and do the. Elizabeth can dance. You know what? It freaks people out to see a preacher and his wife dance. We'll be up to the lake dancing. Elizabeth danced better than that. And people are going, "You can't dance? You're a preacher." I said, "Well, I can't dance because I'm white, but I'm trying to dance. I'm trying to dance, but I dance." Now, hold on. What kind of people dance? Well, two kinds, drunk and happy, all right? But watch this. Most of the time, what? Happy. I mean, if you're having a great day, the joy of the Lord has really stirred up in your life. How many of y'all move a little bit? You know, you'll get out of the truck a little bit different. You'll get out of the car a little bit different. You'll walk in the house a little bit different. You'll eat your supper a little bit different. And you know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all have one of those days? I call it, it's on. Don King, you have some of those days, don't you? Like when you sell 30 houses in one day, that's a pretty good day, isn't it? That'd be a great day. He said, that'd be a great day. Hold on. Not impossible with who? Christ. See, we don't start thinking that. Hold on, guys, listen. I got to share this crazy brain. Gentlemen, ladies, thousands of people need to come to know Jesus. Have y'all met preachers? Please do not leave the kingdom of God in the hand of preachers. Because we're doomed if you do. You know who I leave the kingdom of God in the hand of? You. Every day, in some way, reflecting the possibility of God to somebody. Sheriff, you reflect the grace of God. Sheriff, most of the time you see him, unless he's chasing a criminal, is in a what? Good mood. He always welcomes. That's a reflection of God. Every one of y'all got a piece of the kingdom of God. And our job every Sunday is to stir it up, to send it out, so that you might be the absolute reality of the resurrection. Has it made sense today? Go and share it. Go love it. Go live it. Got it? I love y'all. Now listen, some of y'all need to be saved today. Y'all know it. You know it. God's already spoken into your heart and told you, hey, listen, today's your day. Receive me. Let me forgive you. Some of you need to be baptized. You've received Christ and you've never been baptized. Pastor Ayers, why do I need to be baptized? Number one reason, Jesus said so. What does baptism do? It seals in you the understanding of the grace of God. Baptism's not for God. It's for you to understand that God's got you. I'm saying, Martha, is this different? I love you. I love you. Which one was closer? A or B? The touch. What's baptism? The touch. Make sense? He's all right. He's got me. I'm telling y'all, he knows more than everybody else. Y'all going to see one day when we get to heaven. BJ, makes sense? The touch. I mean, y'all glad to know God wants to touch somebody today. All right, we're going to open this thing up in prayer. Did y'all hear any part of Scripture today we're supposed to be praying for each other? Was that in the Bible? Or in the Bible tablet? It was there, okay, still the same thing. I want you to come and pray for people today. How many of y'all know somebody needs to receive Jesus? I want you to start praying for them. Guess what's coming? Easter. Guess who comes to church at Easter? Everybody in the South. Now listen, I'm going to blow you away. I did a study here on the county. I'm going to blow you all away. Top day. Let's call Easter for no better metaphor than this. It's the Super Bowl of the church. Easter Sunday. Makes sense for. I know that's not a good metaphor, but just humor me. The best day of attendance. Would you agree? I mean, everybody appears for resurrection. There were 26,000 people in church on Easter Sunday morning. There's 115,000 people in the county. Another 5 that we don't count. But God counts. Hey, guys. Y'all say, I stay on this all the time. I want you to know, if God gives me breath to be an old crusty man, I'm going to be limping down these aisles looking at you with all eyes be all wrinkled up. Then I'm going to tell you, he wants to save somebody today. Because guess what I know? He'll want to save somebody today. Now today, some of y'all are going to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Some of y'all are going to come and be baptized. Some of y'all just going to be prayed over and say, God, you know, I'm not reflecting you, but you're in me. Let me reflect. Y'all know he loves us that much. Isn't that amazing? So I got good news. I always got good news. No matter what happens to this world, Jesus will never quit on it. Whether I got a dollar or millions of dollars, Jesus' mind has not changed. He wants to forgive us, love us, and take us to heaven. I don't want anybody here to leave without him today. What about y'all? Pastor Gary, you don't want anybody here to leave without him today, do you? You've surrendered your life for one thing, that people don't have to die and go to hell. See, I'm a one preacher man. That you don't have to die and go to hell. How many of y'all glad? I know some of y'all hadn't heard that in a long time. That you don't have to die and go to hell. Because Jesus has died on a cross so that you might reside in the kingdom of light. We heard it today. Let's stand together right now. Pray with me. Come on, as you come to the altar, just let God touch you and have you. Lord, we are thankful for your revelation. We are thankful for your relationship with us. We're thankful for your pull toward heaven. Lord, we're thankful that you save us. You love us. And God, right now, we ask that you bring people forward to comfort them, to heal them, to save them, and for them to be baptized. Now, you need to receive him. Lord Jesus, I've sinned. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. Lord Jesus, right now, I ask you to forgive me. He'll forgive you. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe you died on a cross, risen from the grave. And then we're going to ask you to come forward so we can talk to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on.